Joining us now, we have, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, future LPGA star.
Superstar.
Superstar, Allison Emery. Allison, welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, Allison, if we went with your entire intro, we'd never have a chance to talk to you. Audrey Kell, graduate, Wake Forest graduate, Symetra Classic. Well, you had the exemption 1 year. You had it the next year. Couldn't take it because you were at the NCAAs. Had a great summer. Is that enough? Is your head still in the room?
Yeah, I mean, it's all happened so quickly, but I'm trying to just take it day by day and not think about everything that's happened because it is a little overwhelming.
Well, and yeah, you had a big win this summer, and we're going to get to that. And right now, you've made it to stage three of Q School, and you made it sort of right on the number to stage three, which ensures no matter what happens this week that you will have full status on the Symetra Tour. So that's got to feel really good, right?
It does. It does. That was kind of my goal going into the year, was to make it to stage three, to secure a spot on a tour and to be able to kind of pick and choose the tournaments that I wanted to play in next year. But now, after having made it to stage three, I've kind of upped my goals, and now being on the LPGA would be great.
That's a good kind of greedy.
Yeah.
You want more. I think it's great. So take us back, and again, we'll talk about your summer success in a moment, but stage one, we don't get to go to Q School, but we hear things and we imagine how competitive it is and a level of camaraderie that maybe goes out the window and what a crucible it is for pressure. When you went and showed up for stage one, I mean, what were your expectations for stage one? I mean, you're looking around, you know there's some players here who are really, really solid. You know some who probably shouldn't even be there. How do you approach that?
Well, going into stage one, I didn't really know what to expect. I hadn't been there before. I was just talking to a few girls about what it was like and trying to get as much information as possible going in. But until you're there, you don't really get the full experience. But I tried to just, focus one shot at a time, as cliche as that sounds. And I think I did a pretty good job of that up until the last day. When it shouldn't count more, but it really feels like it does on the last day. And I was right near the cut line and knew I had to play well. So really, I just, took it shot by shot, tried not to think ahead. There were a few moments where I caught myself and was thinking ahead, and I was playing well to start off with. And so, I was kind of thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to make it. This is great. But you can't think like that. And when you do, that's when things kind of blow up and don't go your way. So,
yeah, it's always interesting that if we could shut our brains off to a certain extent during a round of golf, we might be better off sometimes, right?
Definitely. So at stage two, I really tried to not think about that. And going into the last day, kind of just put everything off to the side, really thinking, I have nothing to lose. Let's just go out and have a good round. And other girls I know will be thinking about the pressure. And I was kind of far back from the cut line going into the last day at stage two. So I felt like the pressure was kind of off because I didn't have anything to lose and I wasn't inside the cut line, so I wasn't going to lose anything.
Right.
So I think that kind of helped at stage two.
And being out there able to sort of swing freely and you weren't at that point when you went into the final round, you weren't really expecting or even expected to make the cut line. So you went out, you knew you had to play well, but there wasn't as much pressure. What about the exterior? I mean, when you go down to Q School and it's not a spectator event in the traditional sense. I mean, how much do you know about the action happening around you, how other players are playing, where you stand, all that kind of stuff? How aware of that information are you?
I mean, you really don't know anything while you're out there because there are no leaderboards. I mean, you can see kind of the demeanor of the groups in front of you and behind you, but that doesn't necessarily mean much. You really have no idea until you're done. So the last day, I thought I had to shoot 3 under to have a chance. And so I ended up shooting 1 under. And when I had finished, I looked at my phone to see what the scores were, and I was tied for 82nd. And there were still a few girls that had to finish that were right near me, and they ended up falling back, and so then I was tied for 80. So, you know, it kind of just, you just got to go out and play and see where that, you know, is in the field, because there are no scoreboards and nobody really knows what's going on. You can't have your phone out there looking at the scores. So.
All right. So
that's got to be a little unnerving.
Yeah, it was.
Just being in the dark all the time.
Yeah.
All right, so I got to ask this question. I'm gonna take you a little bit ahead, not too far ahead, because we know that you're at least playing on the Symetra Tour with the chance of playing on the LPGA Tour. As you look towards next year, 2016, what do we do about a caddy situation? Does it depend on the tour that you get on, or how are we gonna work that? I mean, suddenly you go from a college player, amateur player, to now having to employ somebody potentially to loop the bag for you.
Right. Yeah. I've thought about it a little bit. And I think if I were to get on the LPGA, I would look for a full-time caddy. But if I'm on Symetra, kind of another expense when you're trying to cut down on expenses. So I don't think I would have a full-time caddy on Symetra, but maybe get a local one at the tournaments, or, you know, if my dad can come and take off work and caddy at a few of them, that would be great.
So,
but I don't think many girls on the Symetra have a full-time caddy.
No, it's really very few. Most are taking the volunteer caddies, you know, from the neighborhood who come out there and really want to spend the time with you guys. And, you know, the hardest thing is reminding them to just sort of keep up and shut up. And that's, you know, that's that's sort of the end of it. I mean, you know, you've been playing without a caddy in the sense of having an advisor with you the whole time through your entire junior and amateur career, that, you know, you haven't become sort of, you don't lean on a caddy. So you don't need somebody who's going to advise you. Am I overstating it?
I mean, it definitely helps to have somebody who you're comfortable with out there, you know, at the big tournaments. But, I mean, I do feel comfortable being on my own because I have been on my own in junior and college tournaments. So at first it was kind of weird to have a caddy out there. But now I kind of like it. It's nice to be able to trust somebody with yardages or, you know, the wind. But I definitely think I would be okay not having one every week.
All right. So when you do have a caddy, are you the information? Because we've picked on it. I mean, I don't know if you watched the President's Cup, but man, when Jordan Spieth was playing with Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth turned in like to the information overload caddy. He was giving him, you know, yards to here, yards to there, and we all see Dustin Johnson as
just glazed over and went,
know,
hard reset. Yeah,
Dustin hit ball with nine iron kind of a guy, whereas Jordan's wanting all this information. Which kind of player are you with a caddy? Do you want the caddy to give you a lot of information, or really only if you ask for it?
No, I do not like a lot of information. I want the yardage, the wind, you know, where the best spot on the green is to be, and that's about it. And I don't like when they're talking to me while I'm doing my routine. You know, sometimes the caddies will, you know, back a player off of the ball or talk to them while they're kind of standing behind the ball and focusing on the shot. I don't like that at all. I like to very quick, short, get to the point, and then let me hit. But I'm more of a feel player, so I just don't like all the mechanics and every little detail. I feel like you have to feel the shot almost.
Well, Allison, what about between shots and between routines? Do you want a chatty caddy, or do you want a quiet caddy? Do you want someone to, you know, who knows music trivia? What do you look for? I mean, are you wanting someone to take your mind off what's going on, or to sort of help you talk through your last shot and your upcoming shot as you head up to the next one?
I definitely like to talk in between shots. I feel like if you're going to be out there for 5 hours, you might as well, you know, have some fun in between the holes or in between the shots. It can get pretty lonely. I don't want to say boring, but if you're focusing on every single shot, you're using a lot of mental power and capacity, and you're kind of draining yourself almost emotionally and mentally. So I think it's good at some points to be able to back away and not think about every shot and think about golf. But then by the time you get to your ball and you're getting your yardage, you need to be focusing back on about your shot and focusing on golf. So you kind of need to be able to turn it on and off, I think. But some girls out there like to think about golf the whole time and aren't really chatty and don't want to talk, but others do. So you kind of have to feel your player out if you're a caddy, or pick a caddy that you feel is good for your game.
Well, we're talking to Allison Emery, show favorite, Wake grad, Ardrey Kell grad, heading off Q school, killing it. Do you dare dream? Yes. Have you found yourself waking up and thinking, hey, this could happen, or this has happened, or really, given the success you've had, holy crap, this is happening?
Yes, all of the above. I still can't really believe that I made it past stage two because I was right on the number. But getting the emails from the LPGA about stage three has kind of reassured you know, my dream, but it's crazy. I mean, it is crazy that it's all happening now. I mean, it happened so fast. Well, but I'm excited for what's to come.
Well, the good news, the really good news, is there's a thing called the Golf Shop Radio Bump. And I don't know if it's going to be a trendsetter soon, but everybody that comes on the show has some success shortly afterwards. I mean, 8 of the 10 Symetra Tour players that got their LPGA Tour cards came on the show. We had Smiley Kaufman on the show. Winner. Patton, you know, we've had all these guys on the show, and they win, and it's catching. So you're going to catch it as well.
I hope so. Don't jinx it though for me.
No, we're not going to jinx it.
We talk about it all the time because it's gotten real.
This is real. This is also really happening. And you've been on before, so maybe you experienced a little of that even heading into the Colorado Women's Open when you got your first giant cardboard check. Do you still have it?
I do. Yes.
Did you take it to Bank of America or Wells Fargo and walk in and just go, here, I want to deposit this.
Deposit. I want to cash it.
I want to cash it. I can see you at an ATM trying to jam it in that little slot. That would be awesome.
No, I did not take it to the bank.
All right. Well, that's what I would do.
I would have, yeah.
So do you still have it?
Yes, I do. I do. I haven't hung it up in my room yet, but I think I'm going to hang it up at some point.
In all seriousness, how exciting was that for you to go out there and win the Colorado Women's Open and get that first big cardboard check?
It was awesome. It was a long time, a long wait. I had been working really hard for a couple years and didn't win at all in college and was really close. And so I was pretty disappointed having not come out in 4 years with a victory. But I still can't believe that happened as well. You really can't think about what you've accomplished until you retire. And a lot of golfers say that because if you're thinking about it, then it's exciting. You're not going to work as hard, you know, because you're just so happy with what's happened. You really have to keep the grind day in and day out and just not let it settle in until after the fact.
All right, Allison, I got one last question for you. The type of player you are you somebody going out on tour, whichever tour it may be next year, are you somebody that wants to play as much as possible, or are you somebody that's going to strategically take some breaks during the year to kind of give yourself a kind of little downtime?
Mm-hmm. I love tournaments, and that's kind of why I play golf, is I love the competition and competitiveness of it. So I like to play as much as possible, but I've heard from a lot of the girls who have been out there for a few years that the rookie mistake is to sign up for every single tournament and show how to play in every single tournament. So I think I'm going to try to plan it out a little bit more strategically and not get ahead of myself.
Well, I know there's a tournament director for a certain event in Charlotte that's hoping, you know,
expecting.
Hoping, well, he's hoping that you're not here, but if you're on the Symetra Tour, he's expecting you to be here.
I will definitely be at the Symetra Classic.
Yeah, because even if I found out this year that even if the LPGA Tour is open, you're not allowed to come slum with us. So, you know, I hope I don't see you at the Symetra Classic, but if we do, you're going to be a star.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Allison, we really appreciate you hopping on with us tonight, and we look forward to your success and seeing how stage three goes. So good luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.